This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
So, everyone's aware of the current economic problem. Decrease in savings and rise in prices, loss of jobs, and increasing concern for everyone, right? Okay, there are always a few folks who still feel their escalades without complaint about the fuel price, but most of us are still suffering now or know the financial problems are outside our door. So we trim the fat in our budget. I canceled my newspaper subscription and now pick up discarded copies at work. Eating out less, being more efficient with my errands, not buying new books, etc. Others are doing much more than I am, rarely purchasing meats from the grocery store and commuting even when inconvenient, putting off trips to the repair shop or the doctor. Almost no one has any disposable income, except the university. Somehow this brings me no surprise. Recently, UVA's Board of Visitors agreed to spend $8 million on an athletic field plastic bubble. The bubble allows athletes to practice even during inclement weather. Even though I am a university alum and lifelong follower of Cavalier sports teams, I'll admit to being shocked and disgusted by this $8 million expenditure that comes during our national economic concerns and hand-in-hand with Virginia Governor Tim Kaine announcing that state employees cannot have a raise. The university and the university hospital have maybe 17,000 employees and probably less. If we remove all the doctors and deans and professors and others making more than $50,000, the school could give $1,000 or more to each remaining staff member. Ask these folks if they would like a $1,000 raise or to take nothing so the athletic department can build their plastic practice bubble, and I bet I know the answer. I appreciate the needs of my university. There's an ever-growing competition for financial donations. Money keeps the best faculty around who are attracted by the best buildings and equipment that cost money. Sports help bring in donation dollars, and winning teams bring in larger donations. But this is different than the recent financial doom we've experienced nationally. No. Top-level folks only worried about themselves, doing whatever possible to get their own money, without being concerned about those who actually provide the foundation, the support beams to everyone above them. $8 million for a plastic practice bubble is enraging, selfish, and wasteful, with so many people at the school being told to wait another year for an increase in pay that would help but wouldn't match the rise in America's cost of living. Many people often take those plastic packaging bubbles and pop them for stress release. We may need to do that here. All right, let's take a moment and remind everyone that not everybody who supports this program actually agrees with everything I say. Let me take a moment and thank Alt Energy for being with us today. Alt Energy of Charlottesville, designing and installing solar energy systems in central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems are now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in a few years while reducing your carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by replacing incandescent bulbs with compact fluorescents and having the kids turn off lights when they leave a room. More is at altenergyincorporated.com. All right, let's get into the program today. We're planning to have our own little presidential debate here. We do have Oscar Ramirez, the Virginia policy director from the Obama campaign. Oscar, how are you?
Good morning, Rick. How are you? I'm doing well.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today. Driving from Richmond, correct?
That's right. Got up early on a Sunday morning to be up here with you.
And I get up early every Sunday. And I will say multiple times throughout the hour that despite the McCain campaign contacting us to put this program together, they have failed or chosen not to send anyone to the show today. I have had multiple conversations, multiple emails with the McCain campaign about who they would send, asking who the Obama campaign would send. Back and forth and back and forth. And at this point, here we are at 11:06, no one representing the McCain campaign in the studio with us. So this is not going to be the hour of go, Obama, go, because I'm not going to let that happen. I'm still the moderator, not the guy pushing forward for one candidate. And I'm hoping that the folks who are listening today, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, will participate through the hour. And, you know, because despite, I still find it hard to believe that people out there have not made a decision. I don't know who these people are who have yet to decide who they are going to support. I fail to understand that, because to me the difference, even through the two-party system, is big enough to make a choice. And if you're not into the two-party system, well, there's plenty of other candidates to choose from as well. But there are enough differences here, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I appreciate you being in the studio with me. And being the Virginia policy director, let's start with one of my questions that has never been answered by anyone. Me, neither candidate. Everyone talks about helping the middle class. It makes no difference whether we are talking about economic issues, whether we're talking about health care, when we talk about Iraq and the wars. Everyone wants to help the middle class. Who is helping the lower class? Since John Edwards left the campaign trail, I have never heard the word lower class since.
Well, Rick, first let me just say it's one thing to say that you're going to help the middle class or the lower class. It's another thing to actually have policies that that affect those groups of people. What Senator Obama said is that he's going to give tax cuts that will help 95% of working Americans. That includes middle-class families. That includes what you call lower-class families. In fact, he's going to give middle-class families three times the tax break that that Senator McCain will. And so he understands that so goes the middle class, so goes our country. And so he's focused on that. But his tax cuts will also be helpful towards what you say is the lower class. And that's one of the big differences that you alluded to between the Obama plan and the McCain plan, is that Senator Obama is really going to focus on those Americans who really need the most help right now.
But he never says it. Are we supposed to, you know, believe it as part of the unspoken piece? You know, we keep talking, I've heard him say many times about those folks who make less than $250,000 will you know, not have any tax change. There will be no addition of taxes. In some areas, there will be tax cuts. But to me, middle class, and I don't even know the government definition of that anymore. I believe that the government definition of poverty is a family of four making less than $20,000, although I may be off on those numbers. Are we supposed to assume that middle class can, you know, also includes lower class?
No, well, they're two separate, from an income perspective, they're two different groups of people. But Senator Obama has spoken about that. I think he's actually, after John Edwards left the race, I think they were at a few events together, and they did address some of the problems that middle class and what you call lower class people are having right now. And in addition to the tax cuts that I mentioned before, Senator Obama also has several policy plans in place that would help specifically help lower income Americans. And that includes increasing the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour. This Congress last year passed the first minimum wage increase in decades, and Senator Obama wants to build on that. He's also proposed expanding the earned income tax credit, which helps lower income Americans. So he has talked about it. Maybe we haven't heard it as much in terms of the sound bites that we see on TV or maybe in some of the debates, but he has talked about it, and he does have several policy plans to specifically help that group of people.
All right, so let me ask you about minimum wage. I run a retail business, a service retail. There's the labor, you know, the labor board sheets on there telling all my staff what they can and cannot do, how the business must treat them. And in there as well is the current minimum wage and how it's going to rise over the next year or two. And I have high school kids with no business training at all, never had a job come up and say, wow, I get to make this much next year. Now, these are kids who live at home, who have parents who have jobs, and I don't want to obviously, each family is different as opposed to what those parents may have for their job and what the family income may be. But is there any, you know, fine print on what the minimum wage is? Because I'm concerned that this is going to affect the private business, the mom and pop business, in terms of the number of people that they actually provide with a job. And then we also talk about healthcare and how these other things factor into how much money these mom-and-pop businesses have to hire and provide for their workers.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is some limitation in terms of, and that's part of our current law right now in terms of who the minimum wage does apply to. If you don't work a certain number of hours per week, the minimum wage that we have right now doesn't apply to you, and that would not change under Senator Obama's proposed minimum wage increase. But you're also right in that small businesses right now are struggling in our economy. Senator Obama knows that small businesses are the economic engine of our economy. If you have a new job today, it's more than likely created by a small business. And so that's why, and you mentioned healthcare, that's why Senator Obama has a comprehensive plan to help small businesses who are struggling right now. And part of his plan would be to eliminate capital gains taxes for small businesses. Right now it's at 15%. Senator Obama would make it zero so you can have increased investment in small businesses. When you survey small businesses around the country, what they always say their number one problem right now is paying for their employee healthcare. And so what Senator Obama would do is he would offer a refundable tax credit that would cover 50% of the premiums that employers pay for their employees' health care. And that would go a long way towards helping small businesses and making sure that they can give the health insurance they want to give to their employees. And he has a variety of other plans. He wants to expand Small Business Administration loan program so that the SBA can lend directly to small businesses. They were able to do that after Hurricane Katrina. And we have a similar, a different type of crisis right now, but a similar effect on small businesses. So he wants to re-implement that program to help small businesses. So Senator Obama understands the importance of small businesses to our economy, and he wants to do everything he can to help them out.
All right, we are talking with Oscar Ramirez. He is the Virginia Policy Director from the Obama campaign. I need to continually remind everyone that the McCain campaign was, this has been 3 weeks that we've been working on this program. They, McCain campaign, did indeed contact WNRN about putting this show together, and in the end were unable or chose not to send a representative. So that is why only the Obama campaign is in studio today. 11:16 on the wake-up call. Oscar, capital gains tax, a word that is constantly used or a phrase we hear all the time. I like to represent myself as the guy who's not done much homework on this. I do like to read the entire article. I always tell people you can't read the headline and the first paragraph and then expect to understand the topic. But please define capital gains tax for me, because we always hear it, and whether you're pro or con on it and how it might affect something or might not affect something, please define this for me and for everyone else.
Well, capital gains tax essentially refers to a tax that is levied on certain types of profits. And it varies. You have individuals who have capital gains as well. And so when it comes to small businesses, when you have investments in those small businesses, Senator Obama believes that we should try to encourage that. But now if you have a tax on those investments and on the profits that result from those investments, then you're discouraging them. So he wants to eliminate, for small businesses, capital gains tax. But capital gains tax is also used more broadly in regards to individuals. And that's another area that that we can talk about, that's in regards to fiscal responsibility. What Senator Obama said is he's going to return capital gains taxes, not for small businesses, but for individuals who make more than $250,000. He's going to have those capital gains taxes go back to the level they were during the Clinton administration, and actually to the same level that was proposed by this President Bush in 2001 in his economic plan. So that's part of the process that we have, Senator Obama's plan, to make sure that that we don't add more debt. I'm not sure if you saw recently when President Bush took office, we had a national debt of about a little over $5 trillion. Recently, it passed the $10 trillion threshold. So we've had in 8 years a doubling of our national debt. And so we really can't afford economic plans that will add on to that. And Senator Obama proposes to pay for his economic plans in part by making sure that those who make more than $250,000 pay taxes at the same level they did during the Clinton administration, and as I mentioned, by making sure that the capital gains taxes for those who make over $250,000 are taxed at the same level that President Bush proposed in 2001.
All right, Oscar Ramirez here from the Obama campaign in Virginia. Again, we made every effort to get someone from the McCain campaign here in studio, and despite those folks trying to initiate this program, there's no one from that organization here in the studio today. 11:19 on the wake-up call with Oscar Ramirez. Feel free to dial us up, ask your questions. Would especially love to hear from some folks who have decided to vote for Senator McCain. Let's try and make this a two-sided program as best we can. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Freeze warning, 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Monday morning. Mostly sunny today, though. Highs 55 to 60. Clear with some frost after midnight tonight. Lows 30 to 35. Even chillier in the valley. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the mid-60s. Right now, pretty nice day outside. 46 in the Valley, 49 in Lynchburg, 51 in Richmond, 49 here at WNRN in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Let's take a moment to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being here with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And WNRN wants to remind those of you who made pledges to the just-completed fund drive but who haven't had a chance to pay them yet, please do so as soon as possible. People who can take your payment and help you with your premiums are here until 7 p.m. on weekdays and sometimes later, and the occasional weekend shift as well, especially if you call first. We're at 2250 Old Ivy Road here in Charlottesville behind the Ivy Inn. The zip code is 22903 if you are mailing in your pledge. First round of written reminders to those with unpaid pledges is going out next week. And thanks again to those of you who have already honored your pledge to help us reach over 91% collection rate on the $82,000 and more pledged. All right, we are back. I see the phone ringing now. We're back with Oscar Ramirez, Virginia Policy Director for the Obama campaign. And again, we did make every effort, multiple phone calls and emails to get someone in studio for the McCain campaign, but it just didn't work out today. All right, Oscar, I was listening to NPR, which I'm required to do to keep up with the news for this program. Not that I don't always listen to NRN, but I'm listening to NPR the last day or so, and there's this very compelling piece that they had done where they had taken parts of presidential campaign advertising for the last 40 years and just sort of mixed them up, little bits and pieces they mixed up, and they all sound the same. All of them sound the same, and it didn't matter whether it was the Democrat, the Republican. Everyone mentions Maverick. Everyone mentions, you know, things must change. I will change. You know, the politicians in Washington must go. I just don't understand. I've made my choice, but I'm unhappy with many of the things that my candidate is saying because it just sounds repetitive from the things that I've heard ever since I became eligible to vote. So, without asking you what makes Obama different, because I know what you'll say, what's your comment on that?
Well, I think, especially after an administration that I think 80 or 90% of the American people will agree has not been a successful one, you're always going to see candidates who run against Washington. We saw that in 1992 at the end of another unsuccessful Bush administration, and we've seen that in the past. So that's to that extent, it's not as surprising when things aren't working in Washington that people who are running will run on the platform of changing the policies and the politics that are coming out of Washington. So that, I think, to a certain extent, explains the themes that we're seeing in this campaign. Now, when you have a strong administration and you're running on something on a track record of success, then the arguments will be a little bit different. We saw that in 2000 when Al Gore ran on the Clinton administration's strong track record of peace and prosperity over those 8 years. So you will see, I guess, two different themes when it comes to campaigns, either criticizing a failed administration or on the platform of building on the success of a successful administration. And since some of the words that, you'll hear from time to time are going to be very similar, but obviously I don't need to tell Virginians that between that this is not a year when people are trying to build off the success of a good administration. People are not happy with what's come out of Washington the past 8 years, and they want something different. So you're going to see from Republicans and from Democrats, you're going to see them try to run against that administration's record.
A lot of people make fun of Democrats because they have wasted opportunities in the past. I mean, after the first 4 years of the Bush administration, there was a significant amount of dislike for the administration. And 2 years ago, the Democrats actually took control of the House of Representatives. But many people, Republicans, Democrats, independents, would say that nothing has been done in the past 2 years. Would the Obama campaign disagree with that?
I think we would to a certain extent. Obviously, for something to become law, you need to have not only have something passed by the House, but you need to have 60 people in the Senate who agree with you. And right now, there are 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans. And so getting that magic number of 60 is very difficult. And then on top of that, if you are able to get those 60 Senate votes, then you need to have a president who's willing to sign it. So right now, the way the House and the Senate are structured, it makes it a little bit difficult to get something passed. But there have been very good things that have been passed. I mentioned before minimum wage. That was passed under this Democratic Congress, and that was something that was long overdue, and it had been decades since it had been done the last time. Another thing that was passed earlier this year was, and this is something that's been in the news a lot, is regarding Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We've had, prior to Democrats taking control of Congress in 2006, we had 12 years of Republican Congress, and we've had 8 years of a Republican president, at that point 6 years, and nothing was done to address some of the problems with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And when the Democrats took control of Congress in 2006, they were able to do that within a year. And so there have been a variety of accomplishments that I think this Democratic Congress can take credit for. Have they been able to do everything that they wanted to do? No. And hopefully, if Democrats have more members of Congress in the House and more senators, and with President Barack Obama, we'll be able to accomplish more in the next few years.
All right, we are talking to Oscar Ramirez, the Virginia Policy Director from the Obama campaign, driving up from Richmond today. Thank you very much. It appears as though we do have someone from the McCain campaign on the toll-free line. So that leaves the 979-0919 line open if you'd like to call, and the WNRN studio as a an instant message. Let's see if we can get this gentleman on. Mr. Kenny?
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that. It's nice to actually have someone from the McCain campaign here with us. Sean Kenny, are you actually, the note doesn't tell me, are you attached to the McCain campaign in any way, or are you just a Republican?
No, I'm not. I'm actually a long-time listener, first-time caller, but I'm also a former communications director for the Republican Party of Virginia. So my wife and I were driving back from church with the kids in the back of the car and listening to the program, and I was a bit surprised, as your tone was, that nobody from the McCain camp decided to pick up the baton. So more than happy to stand in someone's stead and glad to be on the program.
Well, thank you. Having folks on two lines is kind of weird, so I may put you on hold occasionally to take the call on the other line, but I do appreciate you being here for as long as you can be. And I'm going to toss this question out to both. And, Mr. Kenny, I'll let you start, since you're the new man in the studio today. Recently, or I guess today, as far as my news reading goes, is that Colin Powell has announced his backing of Senator Obama. And I'm curious as to how much effect celebrities, and especially celeb politicians, well-known politicians, how much difference that makes in an account, in an election.
Well, I'll go ahead and start in saying that that obviously General Powell's had several differences with the Bush administration, as had Senator McCain, as have a number of individuals. And there's a number of folks that respect General Powell for his leadership and respect his opinion as well. On the other hand, I think that most voters, when they go ahead and they look at the record, they look at the issues, and they look at some of the problems facing the country, are going to be able to base their decision not on celebrity endorsements, but more so on who's going to lead the nation in the right direction. If you compare the two records between Senator Obama and Senator McCain, and you look at some of the very real problems facing this country, not just with the war on terrorism, but also facing the economy, facing the two solutions that both camps are putting forward, one is going to bring us out of this recession, that's going to create jobs, it's going to lower taxes in a meaningful way, it's going to maintain some of the tax cuts that we've seen enacted by a Republican Congress, and another camp is going to take us back, that's going to work in concert with a Democratic Congress, that's going to raise taxes on those that will generate jobs, will put undue stress on small businesses, and will unfortunately lead us down a path of more government involvement and a prolonged recession. And when you compare the two based on their merits, Senator John McCain, I believe, wins out in the end. And while celebrity endorsements are interesting for the short term, I think in the long term, most voters are going to look at the very real issues and make a determination for themselves, independent of whichever endorsement you may face.
All right. Mr. Ramirez, you know, that's a wonderful point from Mr. Kenny, but I think, as many people say, are the average Americans looking to the true, far distant possibilities, or are they going, well, hey, you know, if the guy who used to work for President Bush as a Republican doesn't even vote for the Republicans, well, you know, are they having a much shorter term vision on things?
Well, obviously, I haven't read that yet, but if that is true, that's something that certainly the Obama campaign will welcome. General Powell was someone who worked under two Bush administrations, the George H.W. Bush and the George W. Bush administration. He knows both candidates very well, and for him to someone who's as knowledgeable as he is on foreign policy issues, who knows both candidates, to decide to support Senator Obama is something that we certainly welcome. But I would agree with Sean Kenny that I think right now what the Virginians and what the American people are looking at is not who's endorsing who, but they're looking at which candidate can help them out most and which candidate will improve the economy. And just addressing what we heard about the taxes, as I think I mentioned earlier, Senator Obama is going to give 95% of working families a tax cut, and independent organizations have said that that the Obama tax plan will give middle-class tax families three times the tax cut that Senator McCain's plan. Now, if your barometer for who gets tax cuts, if you look at giving tax cuts to oil companies and the wealthiest Americans right now, then Senator McCain is probably your person, because he's giving $4 billion in tax cuts to oil companies and $340 billion to corporations and the wealthiest Americans, who don't really need that tax cut right now. So you have to look at really their track records of both candidates. Senator McCain, as recently as a few weeks ago, said that he was fundamentally a deregulator, and we've seen what the problems that deregulation can cause to our economy over the last few years. He said over and over again that he believes the fundamentals of our economy are strong. Now, Senator Obama believes that when you're deciding whether the fundamentals of our economy are strong, you really have to look at jobs. And that's something that, when we've lost more than 750,000 jobs since January alone, I don't think anybody can say that the fundamentals of our economy are strong. So you have to really look at the track records of both candidates to see where they've stood on the important issues over the past few years and on their plans to see who can really get us out of this difficult economy.
All right. Gentlemen, hang tight for just a second, because we do have a caller. So, Mr. Kenny, I'm going to put you on hold, I think. Actually, Deepak, can you put him on hold? No, I got it. This is why I don't like having two calls on. I'm very not very good with all the buttons. And we have another Sean on the other line. Yes, Sean.
Yeah, I'm curious that General is now considered to be a celebrity. As far as the Bush administration listening to generals, I remember the first Bush didn't listen to Schwarzkopf, and we should have went out and got Saddam out to begin with. But first, Rick, I want to thank you and Ann for not being political, and my only respite away from the campaign is to listen to your station.
Well, I'll certainly take that as a compliment. Thank you.
But my question is on immigration. It seems to have fallen by the roadside. I'm down here in Richmond, and, you know, you talk about minimum wage and raising that. I know, you know, illegal immigrants are getting 10, or, you know, they won't work, and it's really frustrating. You see the federal government, well, they brought the INS in and arrested people at the federal courthouse building. And they might have gotten 15 guys, and right next door there must have been 600 of them working at the Hilton. You know, it's I don't understand how we're supposed to get a workforce, and then if we do have a workforce, how do we get taxes if we won't do a flat tax?
All right. Well, I'm gonna let these other guys talk about it.
Sure.
Thanks for the good question.
Okay. I'll hang up. I'm on a cellular. I don't want to get cut off.
All right, I think everybody's back in action, by the way. Mr. Kenny, you still there?
I am.
All right, well, I'm going to let Oscar talk first on this one, because I'll agree with Sean, who recently called in, that when the Republican Party was having their, their preliminary, trying, let's find out the guy who we want to put up to replace George Bush, that was a major, major topic. And now it's... just drifted away. And I certainly haven't heard Senator Obama talk about it. So your take on it, Oscar?
Well, something that Senator Obama has said from the very beginning is that our priority should be to secure our borders. That's why in the Senate he voted to fund a border fence bill. And now he doesn't think a fence is the only solution to our problems. We do have to work with our neighbor in Mexico. We do have to make sure that we invest in technologies that will allow us to protect our borders. So that's something that he has a record of supporting. But more importantly, and this is where we give Senator McCain some credit a few years ago, Senator Obama believes that if we're going to seriously address our border issue, we have to enact comprehensive immigration reform. And Senator McCain, along with Ted Kennedy, introduced the McCain-Kennedy immigration bill, and Senator Obama was a supporter of that.
979-0919, if you want to dial up and ask your questions. Now, Oscar and Mr. Kenny, you can't possibly believe that building this big fence between the United States and Mexico is a realistic method of keeping out, you know, all those immigrants or all those people that we don't want here working. You said that, Oscar, you said that Senator Obama voted for that. Did I understand you properly?
That's correct.
And Sean, Kenny, if I understand properly, Senator McCain also voted for that.
That's correct.
That is the sort of thing that causes me to say, why are we talking about these two guys? Because there's so little realism involved in politics these days. You know, that is a topic, or that is an answer to an important topic that says, what does everybody out there want me to say? What does everybody want me to say? That's what you want me to say? Good, that's what I'll say. Because A, it will cost a ridiculous amount of money, and B, it's going to be money poorly spent.
Well, let's understand very clearly that the wall or the border fence, whichever you'd like to call it, depending on your opinion of it, it's a deterrent. It's not a panacea. And we know through experience that these sort of deterrents work. They've worked on the war on drugs. They've worked in other parts of the world. Israel is an excellent example. I believe that's a part of the walls along the United States-Mexican border. is actually based off of the Israeli model. So we know that they serve as a deterrent, but is it a panacea? No. The real solution is going to come in enforcement, not just enforcement of the border, but enforcement of our laws at home. I believe that John McCain's actually been very strong on this issue, maybe not as strong as some individuals would like, but he's certainly been willing to tackle it. Not everybody's been pleased with what he's had to say in the past, but he's certainly not been afraid to tackle the issue head on. And frankly, that's the kind of leadership, and I agree with you, that's the kind of leadership we need in Washington.
I appreciate that that honest reply there, which I'm not sure we get from many politicians these days. 11:40 on the wake-up call at the moment. Let's do this. Feel free to dial us up, 979-0919, and ask your question, make your comment.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
UVA was founded on Thomas Jefferson's belief in the illimitable freedom of the mind. Is the university now trying to limit expression? What happens when an electrical surge is followed by Dominion Power surging a bulldozer through your yard? Will the company take responsibility for any of their power? And grab your insert on the upcoming Virginia Film Festival. It'll lay out the places and times for all the movies and events that you want to see. The Hook, your membership is free. And additional support today coming from 45fix.com. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, it's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. We also want to thank NBC29. They're using state-of-the-art forecasting tools to bring you comprehensive up-to-the-minute weather on all NBC 29 HD newscasts. And anytime weather threatens, Central Virginia counts on NBC 29 for news and weather. That's NBC 29. And don't go anywhere, not that you would, because I just saw Drew Thompson walk in the studio. He's here for Les Temps Purdue. If WNRN's version of French isn't your thing, that means the time's gone by. And at the station, that's late 80s and 90s alternative tunes. Tune in for it next. At noon, that's Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, we are back with Oscar Ramirez. He is the Virginia Policy Director for the Obama campaign. And we were nice enough to get Sean, or actually Sean Kenny was nice enough to call in and represent the Republicans and the McCain campaign. And Sean, tell me once again what your role is as a Republican, or I guess you said it was your former role.
Former Communications Director of the Republican Party of Virginia.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that greatly, for you to put forth some representation for the folks to help make this as a fair an event as we could get. All right, let me dig out my questions once again. 11:43. Feel free to dial up and ask your questions. 979-0919 is the call you want to make. I'm curious, as far as the economic issues go, everyone is aware, whether it's personally and only through your wallet, or whether it's because you watch the debates or read the newspapers, that there's a serious economic crisis going on. And we have two senators running against each other. We don't have a mayor. You know, I'm curious, should we have seen any of this coming? How were these economic warnings overlooked? And Mr. Kenny, I'll go with you first.
Sure. And let's be pretty bluntly honest about this. Both parties had a hand in helping create the economic crisis. Republicans will go back and point towards Barney Frank. Democrats will point towards a Republican Congress that presided over the changes that were made during the Clinton administration. One thing's very clear is that the warning signs were very early for anybody that had heard about a housing bubble going as early as 2005. Much of those things were ignored because the boom was strong and the good times rolled. Unfortunately, when we fast forward to today, We hear all sorts of plans and alternatives coming out. We have a $700 billion bailout, which ballooned into a $850 billion bailout, which is essentially a bailout that is mortgaged against the future. It's $850 billion we could have spent on education, $850 billion we could have spent on transportation. It's money we could have spent on health care, Medicare. Name your public issue. That's money that's gone now. And so I think that in the end, we're going to want answers. But I think both camps have really sort of addressed that, that in terms of regulation and looking back at the past, both Democrats and Republicans are a little bit upset with what happened. I think they're committed to fixing it. The question is how do we march into the future? And I know earlier on the program, Oscar sort of touched on some of the things that Barack Obama was going to accomplish, and frankly, that's sort of what motivated me to go ahead and call in. Obviously, some of these things are wonderful in their face. You know, raise the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour. You know, tax the rich. The things of this nature. They all sound like great sound bites, but in the words of his candidate, if it sounds too good to be true or it sounds fantastical, it probably is. The fact of the matter is that when you raise the minimum wage, you punish small businesses. Those small businesses have to come up with this money somehow. When you start tinkering with health care, what happens is that the industry starts holding back some of their investment money so that that money's not back into the industry so that the health care industry actually suffers and has to raise costs in order to meet those costs. When you start taxing the rich, so-called, what you're really doing is you're taxing large businesses and small business owners, folks that make above $250,000 that are continually reinvesting in the economy. The more government tinkers with the economy, and this is why you hear John McCain consistently refer to some of the alternatives that Senator Obama has approached with as Herbert Hoover approaches. They're really not Herbert Hoover. It's more of an FDR sort of approach to where if the government continues to tinker with the economy, certain individuals with capital, whether it's a bank or Warren Buffett or George Soros or name your favorite philanthropist, are going to hold back because they don't know what the rules are. And so long as they hold back on their capital, there will be no investment in the economy. And if there's no reinvestment in the economy, that means no jobs, it means no wage increases, and it means that the recession prolongs itself. The best solution for all concerned is to let the free market work and let it play out. Obviously, we have to do the best to protect working families. I think both camps will agree on this. I think we have different approaches, though, on how best to accomplish this, and we're either going to accomplish it by generating wealth, as the McCain camp has consistently stood by, or we're going to meet these approaches by generating more government, which is a solution that the Obama camp has proffered, but one that, it, rooted in economics, does not work.
All right. I just, before I let Oscar reply to that, I just want to say one quick thing about this. I'll agree about the minimum wage affecting businesses because I talked about that with him before you dialed in. But, you know, I'm just not buying that whole thing about the insurance and how we're going to ruin it because it already sucks. And there are a lot of problems out there. And the problem, to me, starts with allowing all these companies to make millions and billions of dollars on my medication. And I'll leave it at that for now. It's obviously a topic that I can't discuss without having some specialist in this field.
But you understand why that is, though.
Well, let me ask Oscar.
Okay.
Let me give Oscar his fair share of time here.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to address is I think what you heard is part of the reason why we're in this economic mess that we're in right now. We heard Sean say we have to leave the free market alone. And Senator Obama is a strong supporter of the free market. But the fact that you can have unbridled deregulation and let lenders, let companies do what they want, and that's not going to have an impact on our economy or that we're not going to have to pay the price later on, we've already seen that doesn't work. What happened over the past few years was that we had what President Bush called an ownership society, and that he thought everyone should have a home. I myself am a renter. But the problem is that you shouldn't have a home if you can't afford to pay for a home. So what happened was you had lenders who would give people loans based on no documentation, or you had lenders that would give a home based on, or not without any down payment. And so you had all these subprime loans, and that is the root of the crisis we have today. And Senator McCain in the 90s, and as I said, even as recently as a few weeks ago, said that he was fundamentally a deregulator. That's the problem that we've had the last 8 years. And Senator McCain, through his own words, is showing us that he's going to give us 4 more years of what we had. Some of the other things that Sean mentioned were regarding taxing the rich. Senator Obama wants to do is have the top two income tax brackets, the capital gains taxes for people over $250,000, and the dividends go to where they were under the Clinton administration. Under the Clinton administration, we created millions of jobs. Under the Clinton administration, we had a $230 billion budget surplus. And we compare that to what we've had under the Bush administration in terms of jobs lost, in terms of now a $10 trillion national debt, and a budget deficit that's going to be, it's going to go from $230 billion plus to $500 billion to $1 trillion negative. I think you see what works better, Bush economics or Clinton, the Clinton economics. And that's what Senator Obama wants to go back to.
Let me jump in here. I'm going to put you on hold, Mr. Kennedy, because I have a line caller on the other line. Rusty, are you still there?
Rick.
Thanks for holding on so long, man. Let me just say, by the way, that I really like presidential candidate California Governor Jerry Brown and the flat tax. That's really all we need, and we could just finish wasting all this time talking about taxing. All right, Rusty, what you got?
Yeah, not meaning to back up, but as far as immigration goes, I think, one man's not going to fix it, a wall's not going to fix it, security's not going to fix it. The American business owner also has to step up and stop hiring these illegal immigrants just trying to get some labor out of them. That never was mentioned, but that's a big part of the problem, too. And, they need to get credentials. They need to know these people are legal other than just picking them up off the side of the road and going and work them all day long and paying them cash. That's a lot of the problem right there.
That's a wonderful point. And I believe that there is minimal, and by minimal I mean, a half hour every year devoted to doing anything about it. We hear about the big plant in, where is it, Pennsylvania or Ohio, where they couldn't deal with chickens anymore or whatever they were making because they came in and they took all the labor force away. And I know that happened in Colorado one time, but that's all the time you hear about it. And I've never heard about it in Charlottesville, although we can look out the window as you're driving around and there are a handful of people. The Hispanic labor is tremendous in this town, and by that I mean tremendously strong, powerful, and hard workers. But there are also a handful of business owners who take advantage of that.
Yes, they do.
All right. Thanks for calling, Rusty.
See you next week. Bye.
979-0919. We'll get Mr. Kenny. That's what that crazy beep is when I put him on hold, and you're hearing that because it's all on one line. 979-0919, and if you want to dial us up, and there goes that call again. Thanks again to Oscar Ramirez for being here today. Oscar is the Virginia Policy Director for the Obama campaign. Sean Kenny calling up and putting it out there for the Republican Party as a former. See, I haven't written it down, Mr. Kenny, so I'll never be able to get it right. You're a former media director?
Former communications director for the Republican Party of Virginia.
I ought to write down that now, but now that we only got 7 minutes left. By the way, let me take a moment and do this. Support coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. You can go back to school in style. Actually, you should already be back in school in style. And if you need something new, go buy your backpacks, your footwear, and your clothing from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Blue Ridge has over 15 styles of packs and padded laptops, courier bags. If you decided that you need something, Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Berkshire Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. All right, let's do this. Once again, you're on hold. And we got Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to comment that I agree with Oscar what he was saying about the deregulation and then how, in fact, that during the Bush administration, the economic plan was much better. What I did want to say is that if McCain plans to deregulate and make a free market, which I completely would love, but the reality is it doesn't work completely, And this instance to just recently, he just voted for the $700 billion package. Now, to me, that's not putting your money where your mouth is. How can you do one of the biggest buyouts, one of the largest regulation bills ever, and then say you want to deregulate? Any comment?
All right, I'm going to put you. I'm going to hang up and let these guys take over.
That's fine. Thank you.
And we're going to start with Sean Kenny, since that seems to be a poke at the Republican Party.
Well, obviously you have two ends of the stick going. One, let's keep in mind that the $700 billion bailout, which is an $850 billion bailout in the end, was had wide bipartisan support. This is not something that was a Republican-Democrat sort of split. This is something where folks were either going to move the economy and inject liquidity into the market, or we were going to let things be. And all of the indications coming from the Fed, coming from Treasury Secretary Paulson, Ben Bernanke, both sides of leadership in Congress, indicated that this was something that was not just necessary, but needed, and quickly, or else there would be widespread turmoil in the market. On the flip side of this, you do have several strong statements from John McCain, and I tend to agree with them that more deregulation was necessary. And let's not point the finger at the wrong problem. Deregulation, or allowing working families a shot at the American dream and home ownership is not the problem. The problem was predatory lending practices. And just at the moment where the industry itself could have corrected itself, they found themselves in too deep a hole. So it sounds like speaking out of two sides of one's mouth. I can understand where the caller is coming from, but let's bear in mind that what you really have at play here was a problem where the banks have dug themselves too deep a hole. Get them out of the hole and then let the banks regulate themselves so that more Americans have a chance at the American dream. I'm not going to come in here and praise the Clinton administration, but let's be honest. Those reforms helped many homeowners, many young families, go ahead and acquire those homes, acquire new homes, and get their share of the American dream. There's no shame in that. The shame is where you go to folks that can't afford it, push loans on them, making them believe that they can't afford it, and then putting them in a situation to where they're facing foreclosure. That's the real shame. Those are the families that need the most help right now, and we need to be careful not to overreact where the market could inevitably correct itself. And there are several banks that have on their own accord started working with folks that are in bad mortgages and getting them back on track. That's entirely commendable. There are other banks that need a little bit of help. That's what that $700 billion bailout package is there for, if banks choose to take advantage of that. And in the end, if you listen to what the Treasury Secretary has to say, the American taxpayer eventually comes out on the better end of it as we begin to unpack some of these bundled mortgages and find out where the good ones are and where the bad ones are. So in the long run, it's a good play. Yes, it's excessive if you come from the perspective of a free market conservative as I am. But understand the situation. Understand that we are in an economic crisis, and understand that it's not the faults of the folks that got these mortgages. It's a predatory lending crisis that needs to be resolved one way or another, government in the short term, but by the industry in the long term.
All right, let me get Oscar's point in here. And one of the other things is, you know, $25 billion of this went to the auto industry because they're too lazy and too slack to actually build the proper cars that they should have been building for the last 30 years. So your take on this?
Well, I'll agree with Sean that it wouldn't have been anybody's first choice to have the $700 billion bailout. But it was something that we needed to do because of the mess that this administration has gotten us in over the last 8 years. So it wasn't something that we wanted, but it was something that we had to have. That said, two other quick points. One is that when we heard this in Senator McCain's second debate, that he wanted to double down on bad policy by having his own bailout plan that would have reimbursed or paid lenders for these mortgages at the original price that the mortgages were made at instead of at their current market value. And so what that means is that you're essentially bailing out lenders, and the people who are paying for the bailout are the taxpayers, because they pay the difference between the price of the mortgage when it was made and the current price now. And that's very different than the bailout plan that Sean referred to that we passed now that that referred back to a bill that was passed in July, which said that lenders had to take a 90% to 10% haircut, which means that they don't get paid for the mortgage at the full price. They get paid 10%, they have to take a 10% loss on that mortgage, and the the borrower has to take a 5% cut. They have to pay a 5% premium to pay for that, so they have to sacrifice a little bit too.
All right, I just got a few seconds left.
And just one more thing quickly on predatory lending. Predatory lending happens because there's a lack of regulation. So to say that predatory lending happens in a vacuum is wrong. The reason that you have yield spread premiums, which give a mortgage broker a financial incentive to steer a borrower into a loan that they can't pay, or the reason you have adjustable rate mortgages where people are qualified at a certain interest rate and then the mortgage increases, balloons to an interest rate in which the borrower can't pay it back, the reason you have that is because of lack of regulation, and Senator Obama is going to change those policies.
All right. We are finished up. I thank both of you so much. Sean Kenney, I'm going to get this right this time, former communications director for the Republican Party in the state of Virginia.
That's right. Very good.
And, you know, you should really call these guys and tell them that you're available for these shows. Maybe they won't have to be so slack to contact us about doing the program and then not being able to send anybody. So thanks, Sean Kenney. Thanks so much for participating in the last half hour.
Thank you.
Oscar Ramirez from the Obama campaign, thank you for taking the time to drive in from Richmond. I thought it was did a pretty good job of trying to keep things fair and square during our hour.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Make sure that you vote. Please make sure that you vote. And if you are undecided, take the time to read past the headline and the first paragraph in the article. Next week, we will do in the Virginia Film Festival, Richard Herskowitz, and another woman who is in putting a film together. All right. Thank you so much. Drew Thompson up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.